Fishing 24/7 with Dave Butfield. Brought to you by Tackle World St Mary's. Visit hookedontackleworld.com.au.
Welcome back to Fishing 24/7. G'day, I'm Dave Butfield. We've got a great show lined up today. Very shortly, we're talking to Adam Reuter. Yesterday, I just came back from Victoria and went down there with real-time fishing charters and fished with Adam Reuter, and we went chasing squid. I tell you, I had one of the most amazing times, and today we'll talk a bit about catching squid from the guru, Adam Reuter. Also, we're talking to John Ryan, finding out what's biting around Sydney. Miles Tans from Townsville. We're going to talk to Johnny Bell, find out what's new from Pure Fishing. Kim from Tackle World in Salisbury in South Australia, and lots more. So stick around, it's going to be a great show. Now, at the present moment, we're getting the reports. September now, we're starting to get our kingfish run in Sydney Harbour. And that's the time of the year I get excited, because you don't have to go outside and, you know, and battle the big seas. You can go inside the harbour and chase these great fish. But the most important thing when going for kingfish, you will need squid. Now, a lot of these squid at the moment are being caught around Middle Head, around the kelp beds there. Also, Shack Bay, it's a great place, and it's right near Middle Head, and you'll see the little tin shacks in the background there, and just in front of that, about 50 metres out, there's a lot of kelp. So cast your squid jigs around that 2 to 1.8 size works best, and colours, your natural colours, your pinks, and make sure you use a spray on them. The Eggy Max spray is absolutely brilliant, and just give that a coat of that, and that does attract your squid, because a lot of squid, they use 50% sight and 50% smell. So it's very important to have that smell on there. And that's why the Berkeley squid jigs are working so well, because they've got the scent built into them. The squid can see them. And squid don't see colours. Squid only see shade. So if you've got a lure that has a lot of patterns on it, they see that shade. And then if you've got the smell to it, that's the other attractor. And your chances increase when you're using the two combinations. Also, when kingfish, make sure when you're fishing for kings, don't fish on the bottom. You've got to fish mid-water. These fish don't feed off the bottom. So what I use to do, especially in fishing in Sydney Harbour, hit the bottom and five turns back up. And that usually gets to where the fish are. Be patient. Have a lock drag, or not lock drag, have your drag set to around about 4 kilos and hang on. So it's pretty exciting time of the year. You can go right at the back of the creeks and get these kingfish. And very soon on Hooked on Tackle World, I'll be taking you in Sydney Harbour, showing you how to catch these great fish. Also, I've had reports down off Kiama, there is loads and loads of gemfish around. Probably one of the best eaten fish, blue-eyed cod probably are the best, but the gemfish come pretty close. There's loads of them out there at the moment. If you want to go out with Trevor Newcomb for Kiama Game Fishing and Reef Charters. He's a great bloke, and at the moment they're getting their bag limits very easily. So get out off Kiama and get out there and have a go, because there is loads and loads of fish out there. Off Terrigal, there's been some kingies. We'll be talking to Scotty Forreton very shortly about that. And there's loads of them. And Scott can pull in 50 in an outing. He's an amazing bloke, loves his fishing, and very knowledgeable about catching kingfish off Terrigal. So there's great reports of kingfish around. And also going up the Queensland, the Jumping Pin, one of the most popular spots for flathead. Well, that is firing at the moment, and we are getting reports of some good flathead coming through there. Soft plastics are working, 4-inch minnows. The colours, well, you know, my favourite, I use the nuclear chicken for flathead, but your smelt, your pumpkin seed, banana prawn, all them colours will work anyway. But that Jumping Pin area is a great place for flathead. So there's not bad fishing around. We're starting, you know, getting out of that winter period now. The days are starting to get longer and warmer, and we should start to see a lot more species come through once that water starts to warm up. And hopefully, because we've had that rain, I reckon... They say, the old theory is, when there's a drought on land, there's a drought on water and for the fishing. So we've had plenty of rain right along the east coast, right up the Queensland, Victoria, New South Wales. We've had some great rain this year, so hopefully we're going to have a bumper season in the fishing. All right, so now we're going to cross over to my good mate Adam Reuter and talk about our venture out there this week where we were chasing squid. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. It was great to catch up with you the other day. We had a crack of a time, and the weather did put it on for us. It was absolutely perfect out there.
I know, mate. It's most unusual because it's been absolute garbage, since. So, yeah, mate, we just happened to pick that perfect day, and, it all happened. And the fishing was quite good. I mean, it was pretty much Squid City out there for most of the day, although we did try to hunt out some slightly larger ones. I think, was our best one, about 1.4 kilos, sort of something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, jump on the Hooked on Tackle World website. We've got the photo on there. It was a pretty good squid. And look, mate, I can't believe the numbers we got. I mean, a lot of them squid went back into the water, but I reckon we would have got 60 or 70 without trying.
Oh, mate, absolutely. And that's possible for anyone to do once you've got the right equipment. Squidding is available pretty much right throughout the southern half of the country. And it's just got me absolutely bamboozled why more people don't do it. I mean, obviously it's really big here in Melbourne and in Port Phillip Bay, but I mean, you guys up there in Sydney and even southern Queensland have got fantastic amounts of really nice calamari squid, and you don't seem to capitalise on it unless you're using them for bait.
That's right. It really changed my perspective, the way I look at squid fishing now, to be honest with you, Adam. You know, before, to me, you know, I enjoyed squid fishing, but it was mainly a bait kind of thing for me. I got the bait for the kingfish, and which, you know, I really need for the catch the kings. I have to get the squid. But now, using the eggy rods, the Emeraldus rods and the reels, I enjoyed my squid fishing a lot more. There's a lot more technique in it, and just working out different things that, you know, I just enjoyed my squid fishing so much more, and I looked at it as more of a fishing sport, not as a kind of a bait kind of process.
Exactly, and I think whenever you take a technical aspect of fishing and introduce yourself to it, you can see a lot of variation, and you can also pick up on little factors that make a big difference to your overall catch. So when the squid are on, you can pretty much catch them on anything, but it's when they're hard that makes the difference in having all of the right gear. And, you know, we capitalised on those squid that day. Like, Matt Sini was the perfect example of how much and how good a nice rod is to use, because he obviously started the day fishing with his normal spin rods, and by the end of the day you couldn't get an iggy rod out of his hands. Like, he was right on to the fact that these rods do a better job. They hold onto your squid better. They cast further. They make the lure act and react much better to your hand movements. Like, everything about those rods are very specific towards the art of squidding and squid fishing. And that sounds strange, and it must sound strange to a lot of the listeners that there are rods specifically designed for squid fishing. But keep in mind, the Japanese have been squid fishing with lures for over 300 years, and that's a lot of time to build a full technical tackle aspect around one creature, and they love it, and they do it so often that the results of their hard-earned labour are now starting to come through in the tackle stores in Australia. And I tell you what, it is probably the, like, we thought soft plastics was big. Well, squidding is going to be just as big, mark my words.
It definitely is, and it's something that, you know, the thing I love about the squid fishing, one, it's pretty easy to do. Anyone can do it. It's like soft plastics fishing, you know. You get the right plastic, the right colour, and you will get the fish. And you can do it from land, you can do it from the boat. So no one, you know, you don't have to spend $1 million on it, and you can just get out there with the kids and have a go and have a great time.
Exactly. It's like a lot of fishing styles that are sort of, when they're brand spanking new, there's only the top end gear available. But realistically, to be a modern day squidder, all you really need is a couple of good quality squid jigs, good Japanese quality squid jigs, and you're 90% there. The rest of the stuff, it makes it nice and makes it easy, and you do end up catching more fish, but it's not absolutely essential. And it is like with most things, you can fill yourself up and spend $1 billion, or you can just take it easy and you know, just go down and have a bit of a crack off your local pier or off the rocks. You don't have to have a boat. You don't have to have all of the whiz-bang gear. Although, as both yourself and myself try to explain to the people, it does make a little bit of a difference on the day when you're fishing, and I think you know, we certainly proved that when we did fish the other day.
Oh, that's right. And earlier you talked about Matt Sini being amazed by the rods we were using. He could not stop talking about how much he enjoyed using these rods, and when he picked up his rods, he said they feel like bricks. When we're using the Daiwa gear and the Pure Fishing, the Berkeley gear, they're so much lighter. We weren't really losing squid because we had that rod that was designed, was taking all the jolt out, and you're not losing the squid.
Yeah, exactly right. And there's so many other little intricate, like if you're the sort of angler that likes to really get into a particular style or side of angling, you know, whether it be brim spinning or kingy fishing, you know, there's always little tiny intricate bits and pieces that go along with being a keen sports angler. And squidding has it all. Like, you know, they've got their own little types of snaps and little hit markers that live on the squid jig and bags and accessories and scents and all these different weird and wonderful things which just enable you to not only have a better time but as an end result catch more and bigger squid for your time on the water, which is obviously the all important part. Like, squidding is the sort of thing that I go out these days and when I go, I almost can guarantee that I'm at least going to catch one. It's one of those sports that you can definitely focus in on and you can work your tackle to suit the conditions and the situation. And you need to think about it and you need to change your gear up. You need to change your color and your retrieve style and all these different facets. You can adjust and trick up to suit the conditions, to suit what the squid are doing on the day and obviously capitalize on that and get a result. And getting a result at the end of the day when you're an angler, I suppose for me is the main aim.
But
talking about the jigs themselves, there's a huge variation in jigs these days, and to be brutally honest, a more expensive squid jig does catch you more squid.
Exactly.
The simple fact of the matter is they have much better hooks, and the hooks are probably the main part of the squid jig. They've got to be sharp, and they have to retain that sharpness, and there's nothing sharper than a chemically sharpened Japanese hook. So, you know, spending the $25 or $30 on a squid jig definitely will end up catching you more squid over the long term. But also it's a matter of how they sink and also how they look.
Exactly.
To a degree,
right.
How they swim. But
yep.
A lot of it's got to do with their sink angle, their hooks, and how they look at the end of the day to the squid. I mean, there's so much to talk about when you're thinking about squidding. You know, what do they see underwater? How do they perceive your jig? Why do they see different colours differently? And I think we covered most of that in the show. So if any of the listeners out there want to cop an eye and an earful of it, I reckon they should definitely catch that show of ours, mate.
Well, mate, we're doing a two-part special on that squid show because there was so much information. And you are the guru sensei of squidding, I have to say, because I've never met anyone that have so much knowledge on a squid. And I reckon you sleep with a squid next to you and cuddle it every night because, mate, you were just amazing how much, you know, you knew the growth rate, you knew the biomass of squid, which blew me away because this biomass of squid is more than what we are on land, isn't it? Something like that?
Yeah. There's more squid in the water than there is humans on Earth. As in weight-wise of, kilos of, so that's pretty impressive. They're coming to get us, I tell you.
It's amazing, but they're coming to get us, it gets pretty scary. You've got them big colossal squid. But, Adam, you know, the thing with squid, you can take your bag limit and you're not going to damage our fisheries because they breed
they are very prolific, mate. Very prolific indeed. I tell you what, when I come back, I want to be a squid. How's that sound?
Oh, mate.
that's how good they go. They go pretty damn well. I tell you what, I'll put this out to the listeners. Now, this radio obviously goes up around your part of the world. And I tell you what, if in 6 months you get enough calls or enough people come into your shop and ask you about squidding and what it is to be a squidder, I'll say in about 6 months or so, if you want me to come up and do a few seminars, get me up there, I can talk for sort of 3 or 4 hours on the art of squid angling and all that there is to do. Mate, I'll come up and I'll do some seminars for you. Does that grab you?
Yeah, that'd be great, mate. I reckon we'd fill a room too because it is growing. It's a growing sport. And I reckon get up there and just finding out the finer details, you know, and the stuff you were telling me the other day, just little bits and pieces, it really helps your squid fishing because you start to think like a squid. You know, you start to think on colours and water conditions and, you know, like murky water, clear water, kelp, looking for kelp, looking for weed, reef, we're fishing over reef. And we're getting squid. But it's so much different aspects of squid fishing, and it's a great little sport.
There is, it is so many different facets to it. And if you keep your eyes peeled in Fishing World magazine, I think in the next 2 or 3 months there's another article written by me. I wrote one the end of last year. I'm doing another one at the end of this year, which is, I think it's going to be called Once I Was a Squid. And it's about putting yourself in the squid shoes and trying to think like a squid. And it's all about what the squid does on a day when he needs to go out and get a feed. So that's an interesting read from the squid's point of view, thinking about what he has to do for the day. So that might be worth a read. And there's some pretty trick photos as well in there.
Mate, I reckon we could probably do the whole show just on squidding, but we don't have the time for it. But, mate, next fortnight we'll have the show on Foxtel on Aurora, Hooked on Tackle World. You can see Adam and myself go around Port Phillip Bay and had one cracking time catching these amazing squid. And, mate, you're at Fishing Fever. Give yourself a plug there, because if anyone wants to drop down and talk about squidding or talk about rods or whatever, you can give them the advice. So whereabouts are you and your phone number?
Absolutely. 517 Nepean Highway. Well, it's actually called... it's called Main Street, but it's Main Street Mordialloc, which is, you know, also Nepean Highway, in Victoria. And the phone number is 03-9590-9899. So, or you can email us at info@fishingfever.com.au, and we're more than happy to answer all of your questions. And obviously, we've got a power of squid fishing gear, so...
Yeah, sure.
It's what all of the guys here in the shop really love to do on their you know, mornings or afternoons before or after work, and then on their days off. So it's basically cephalopod city down here.
Yeah, or just jump on Adam's website, imasquidmaniac.com.au.
No, I am a squidhead.com.au. No, not really. Although that's not a bad site name.
But no, it's great, and I look forward to catching up again. We're coming back there in October, late October, early November. We'll do some snapper fishing, so that I'll look forward to doing that as well.
I cannot wait for that. We'll have an absolute blast, and we'll give them a good gulping, eh?
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Fishing 24/7, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Good on you, buddy.
Thanks, mate. Well, there you go, Adam Reuter. And you can see that he's a passionate about his squid fishing. And it was true what I said before. I look at squid fishing totally different now, where before it was just a kingy bait. But I reckon I've taken it to the next level, and I'm going to do it as a sport, because using the eggy gear, the eggy line, the eggy reels, the Daiwa stuff, I enjoyed it, and it was just amazing. It's amazing. So we're going to go to a short break. When we come back, more fishing, bit of boating, and having lots more fun. You're listening to Fishing 24/7. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Fishing rod, a destination, a couple cans of medication, and just like that, my frustration is gone. My wife would never understand. She says that it's a troubled man who sits and stares at a fishing line all day long. And a bad day's fishing beats a great day's working. But a great day's fishing leaves you wishing that it never would end. You've heard about the one that got away. Well, that's me out here today. And all it took was my very first bite. And I'm hooked for the rest of my life. The biggest fish, the biggest catch, it's not about things like that. All that counts is getting back on the water again. A bad day's fishing beats a great day's working. But a great day's fishing leaves you wishing that it never would end. And you've heard grab the one that got away. Well, that's me out here today. And all it took was my very first bite. And I'm hooked for the rest of my life. Yes, I'm hooked on hooked for the rest of my life.
If you love your fishing, don't miss Hooked on Tackle World with Dave Butfield on Foxtel and Austar around Australia. Dave takes you fishing around Australia and shows you all the tips and techniques to catch that fish of a lifetime. You can watch Hooked on Tackle World on Aurora Channel 183 every Tuesday night at 7:30pm EST and Saturdays at 6:30pm EST. For more information, jump on the web at hookedtv.com.au.
This is Fishing 24/7, thanks to Dave Butfield's Tackle World. Log on to hookedontackleworld.com.au.
Welcome back to Fishing 24/7. Well, there was Adam Reuter. We're talking about squidding in Victoria. And also, if you're down that way, you can drop into Cranbourne Tackle World and talk to Paul Worsley and the gang down there. They've got a great range of products. And also down in Shepparton, go and see Trolley's Tackle World store. If they're not underwater, they've had a fair bit of rain down there at the moment. And hopefully it's receding, because we don't want to see them guys underwater. Now we're crossing back up to New South Wales. We're talking to John Ryan from St. Mary's Tackle World. Good morning, John.
Morning, Dave. How you doing, mate?
Good, mate. Now, today we talk about what's been happening in the local area. We were talking about the kingfish starting to show up in the harbour, which is a great sign. And I reckon, you know, the way things are going now, we're starting to see the kingies all year round in the harbour. And they are growing in numbers and growing in sizes, which is great to see. Squidding is the main way we've talked about to catch the kings. Now, what else has been happening down there, John?
Mate, the snapper are still firing. They didn't have much of a showing earlier in the year, but now they're really starting to crank. They're actually turning up in the harbour.
Yep, okay.
I should, you know, around about that 1.5 to 2 kilo, which is quite a good snapper for inside the harbour.
Yep.
And plus they're also plenty outside of the reefs. Most guys are catching them in either floated baits, but the only problem with that is there are a lot of jackets.
Yep.
So a lot of guys are targeting with plastic and bait rubbers.
What's some of the bigger sizes they've been getting out there, John?
Well, they're not overly massive snapper. Most of the fish you're getting on the reefs at the moment are around about that 2 to 3 kilo, but you'll get the occasional one nudging that, you know, around about 4 to 5.
Yep.
So, yeah, oven-sized fish, yeah, so you can wrap up and foil and bung in the oven.
Yep.
And, yeah, they're great fish. Most guys are only chasing them reasonably light tackle,
yep,
using about 10-pound braid, 3/8 ounce jig heads, and, you know, 5 or 7-ish jerk shads,
yep,
or bay rubbers and things like that.
That's right. Now, something that is exclusive to Tackle World stores is the 6-inch jerk shad, Berkeley jerk shad, and you only can get that at Tackle World stores, and I reckon that 6-inch is a perfect size for snapper. Where you go, your 7-inch, you're starting to get a little bit large, but that 6-inch is absolutely perfect, so make sure you drop down and pick them up as well. But if you're using bait, we do a large range of salted pillies, don't we, John?
Yeah, we do. Well, we've also been selling a lot of lately little yokies. They're like a little flashy hook with a little bit of lead attached to them.
Yes.
They look like a little prawn,
yep,
or a little baby squid. They're covered in glow-in-the-dark paint. They've got really big eyes on them. They're really flashy, and the idea with them, if you use like a strip of squid or a strip of bonita or whatever you've got kicking around, put it on the hook, put it on a line, about 10-pound or 12-pound line, throw it right out the back of the boat with no sinker, just stick it in the rod holder, and all that flash and all that glow will attract the fish, and when they come up to have a look at it, got a nice bit of squid or bonita or pilchard hanging off it, and yeah, people are catching lots of snapper on them.
That's right. We talk about using gulps and using bait, but the little yokies, they work brilliant. I've caught kings on these, and I've daisy chained them together and had two together that make a little bit bigger profile. But for snapper, they are ideal for snapper and that reef fishing. And also the MF50s, we've got a large range of MF50s and MF40s there. But the MF50, I reckon you could drift that down that trail as well and then just work that back like a plastic, and I reckon that would get hammered.
Yeah, definitely. Dave, like a lot of guys, just like you use a day rubber, say a lot of guys, what they do, what I recommend, drop the day rubber to the bottom. When it hits the bottom, take two or three winds of the handle just to get it off. And if there's a little bit of a lump, the day rubber will just work, and you can probably do the exact same thing with an MF50. Just have it just off the bottom and just have that swell rocking lure around, and rub a bit of scent on it if you want. They do have a bit of scent in them already. And I'm sure Snap would bash them up, no worries at all.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Now, what else has been happening, John?
Mate, there's been some big salmon on the beaches, some really good salmon, you know, around about that 4 kilo mark,
nice.
which is quite big for a sambo. A lot of guys are just fishing for them at night. You won't get them through the day, but the bigger quality fish seem to be coming at night. Mostly on softer pilchards.
Yep.
Just fished on the bottom in nice deep gutters. What you want to find in a gutter is something that's open at both ends so the fish can just pass through, because they don't like coming over that shallow water at the back. So if you've got an open-ended gutter, you're a better chance to catch some good salmon. And there are some tailor mixed in. Not a lot of tailor, but mostly sambos. But the jewies have been quiet, but the salmon have been great.
I reckon you could use them little yokies and the same thing, cast them out and just jerk them back, and I reckon the salmon would smash them as well.
Yeah, definitely, especially during the day.
Yeah.
There are a lot of salmon in the harbour too. A lot of guys are going out trying to chase them. They are a little bit hard to chase in the harbour because they're feeding on such small bait. A lot of guys are going out there with your traditional lures, like little metal slices, and throwing them through the schools and not catching any fish. Or by using soft plastics, especially you can get these little Bastrix worms, which are like in a pearl pepper colour.
Yep.
What you do is just rig them on a light jig head and just twitch them to the school, because all it imitates, it's not imitating a single bait fish, it's actually imitating a little school of like a bunch of 20 or so little eyes. They're called, the bait fish called eyes. And you just work them slowly and the salmon is slurping them down.
Okay.
And the key is to get upwind of them, because the salmon will feed into the wind, facing into the wind, because they force that bait into the wind so they can't get away. So if you want to get 45 degrees off the front of them, and just cast down into the school.
Okay. Now, all right, John, now that's all the time we have for this morning. Whereabouts are you located?
We're at number 82 Glossop Street in St Mary's. Our number is 9623 9743, and we're not just a fishing shop. If you like to shoot, we've got ammunition. If you like to hunt, we've got archery. And if you like to chase pigs through the bush, we've also got, you know, protection gear for your dogs and knives and all that kind of stuff too.
Yes, we're the big boys toy shop. We've got everything for your fishing, hunting and archery needs. Drop in, say g'day, and the boys will show you the rigs, the bait, the techniques of catching fish. We'll put your line on, and that's what we thrive on, is giving you the information so you can get out there and catch that fish of a lifetime, and we'll spend the time, and that's what we'll do that no other store will do. We'll show you what to do. And remember, give us a call on 9623 9743 and see John, Emlyn and Paul, and maybe when I'm in there, if I'm not away. And mate, it's great having you on board, and I'll talk to you again next week.
No problem, Dave. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jono. Well, there you go, John Ryan. So fishing is starting to hot up off Sydney, and it's great to see cairns, salmon, and some great snapper, which is brilliant. And love going for snapper, and then little yokies John was talking about, they definitely are a must and definitely worthwhile having in your tackle box. All right, now we're crossing over the pure fishing, going to talk to Johnny Bell. We're talking braid, eggy gear, and also the new freebie lures and some venom rods. So good morning, John.
Good morning, Dave.
John, I was talking to you the other day. I just came back from Melbourne, and the Berkeley squid jig actually slaughtered the squid. It was a great lure, or great squid jig, and it was one definitely to have in your tackle box.
Absolutely, mate. There is no doubt that the power-scented Berkeley eggy jig, or squid jig, is head and shoulders above any sort of what we would consider to be normal jigs. And I guess it's like if you walked into a kitchen and someone was cooking something, but you couldn't smell it, you really have no appreciation about what's going to be put on the table.
That's
but
right.
If you've got that, you walk in and you can smell that roast beef and potatoes, and you go, wow, that's awesome. That's exactly what you get with the squid jig. It's got that highly potent shrimp flavour, which leaches out into the water very quickly. The squid key onto that, and they just see that as a prawn or a little shrimp. They latch onto it, and once they're on, they're on. They're pretty well fail-safe after that.
That's right. It's amazing, the squidding down in Victoria. We were just talking to Reutz about it. It's a prolific, but it definitely made a difference, because we had lures that weren't centred, and I had the Berkeley one on, and some of the guys weren't getting the squid, and I were. So it was very, very important to have that scent on your, as you're just mentioning,
yep,
on your jig.
Yeah, well, and at the end of the day, I mean, we all enjoy being out on the water, but if you're out there specifically to catch squid or fish or whatever it may be, and you're the high count in the boat, and you've got the right product, it's obvious that you've done something right. Having that product that is going to work better for you at a nominal price, it's not an expensive squid jig by any stretch of the imagination, it just makes the whole experience a heck of a lot better. You come home with a good food, you've had a great time, you've been able to rag your mates out because you caught more than they did. Yep. That's all part of the fishing deal. So yeah,
sure,
mate, go the Berkeley Eggy Jig.
Yeah, definitely. Now, John, you've got a range of new braids coming in.
Yes, we've just landed our new Sensei system. This is a Japanese quality braid, or it's a Japanese braid that we have spooled up over there.
Okay.
It's the Sensei system. It's an 8-carrier braid, and that simply means that the main carrier, or the main filaments that make up the line, there's 8 parts. So when they're woven together, you get a virtually perfectly round cross section, which is very important for casting, for sort of laying correctly on the spool. Obviously, it helps to tie better knots if there's a perfectly round cross section.
That's right.
And very thin for its breaking strain. So, a Sensei braid has been well received by the tackle stores, and I'm sure it will be well received by the anglers as well. And going with that, there's also a Sensei fluorocarbon leader system,
fantastic,
which has been designed to match the braid. So, these are perfect wound Japanese, again, Japanese fluorocarbon. Very, very good product.
Now, I reckon it's a must be. I mean, all my leader now is fluorocarbon, and especially when fishing is a little bit tough, you really need that fluorocarbon leader.
Absolutely. It's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that fluorocarbon line or fluorocarbon leader will improve the ability of you hooking and catching fish. It has the lowest visibility factor in the water. It has the same coefficient as fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's virtually clear. And if you can just step back a second, when you're talking about the eggy jigs, we've also got an eggy leader, which has got a very, very faint pink tint to it, and that reduces the flash, the glint that sometimes you get off those clear lines.
Yep.
But again, yeah, fluorocarbon, very, very important for anything in, you know, shallow water, fresh water, stealthy kind of fishing where you really need everything going in your favour, fluorocarbon's the only way to go.
Now, we're talking about braid and line technology is so advanced now, and like you just said then, leader with a pink tinge in it,
yep,
that stops the flash. But also you've got an eggy braid, which people go, well, what's the difference between braids? And braids are braid, but it's not. The eggy line or the braid sinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's camouflaged. Again, we've utilised a lot of the expertise that Japan can give us. There is no doubt that those guys are at the forefront of catching squid. And what they've been able to tell us is that if you have not only that pink tint leader, so you've got the best invisibility at the jig end, but if your line has a sink rate and is coloured so that it kind of blends in with the weed, sand,
yep,
kind of environment that you're normally looking for squid around, that again maximises your chances because there's nothing in the water, no colour or straight line or shadow being thrown by something that can distract the squid. And so the eggy braid combined with the eggy leader and the eggy jig, again, you've got a complete system. And that's what we try to bring to our product, a system that will that just builds for an angler and, again, gives them that good experience.
Yeah, exactly. Now, mate, something I'm excited about is the freebie lures. And
yeah,
we just put that up on our Hooked on Tackle World website if anyone wants to look at it. The Fat Dog, I think it's called. And,
Fat Dog,
mate,
yeah,
that one's, I reckon, it's going to be a hot lure. But there's a full range of them, isn't there?
Yes, mate. There's 6 body styles and there's 10 colours about to arrive. We showed these just recently at the Fishing Tackle Expo up in the Gold Coast when we opened all the new product up to the trade. The reaction that we've had since has been nothing short of phenomenal. Designed by Adam Mad Dog Reuter, who I believe you've had on the radio just prior to me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these lures sport the owner hooks and rings, so you've got quality there. And you've got a range of lures that suit all your light tackle applications, bream, whiting, bass, trout. That's our first release. So you've got deep diving, sort of fat body, deep and shallow diving. You've got surface lures. You've got a little popper. You've got a little a suspending, sinking bait that, you know, wobbles as it slowly sinks. So there's a variety of baits there, and as I said, in 10 colours, and they should be in stores, I'd reckon, by the end of September at a retail price around $14. So very good quality product at a very good price.
Mate, like I say every week when we talk to you, you always make it affordable for everyone to purchase. Instead of spending $27 on a lure, you can spend $14 and get a great lure that works and catches your fish, and that's what you guys do, especially with the MS40s, 50s, two in a packet, and you're really only paying for one, so it's great value.
Mate, that's what we're about. We're tasked, our parent company tasks us with selling a lot of fishing tackle, and the only way we can do that is to make it good quality and affordable, and we think we hit both of those marks pretty well.
Yep, you sure do. Now, mate, last product we're going to talk about is the new Venom Rod. I have seen and played with them. We've got some coming into our store, but it is a great Smick-looking rod.
It is the absolute flagship of our rod series, and we just spoke about affordability. These are, and without any, you know, I'm not trying to back away from what we said about the affordability before, but these are expensive rods, anything from $400 to $600 per rod.
Yep.
But for that, you get the absolute best cutting-edge technology that's available in graphite for the blank, in the grip technology, in the reel seat technology, in the guide technology. And again, Adam Reuter has done an unbelievable job in designing this range of rods. There's 11 rods in the series that take you from sort of 2-3 kilo light brim trout kind of lure casting right through to the favourite of the series is mine, the Venom Viper GT, which I'm just about to go away and use again up in Cape York, smashing those big GT Trevelli up there. So an awesome range of rods. We actually won best new rod at the After Show, which is a feather in our cap. So I would ask anybody who's looking for a top-end rod, certainly to go and check out the range of the Venom, the Berkeley Venom series rods.
Yeah, it's a great product, and like you said, it is the best you can buy. That money can buy, and check them out and jump on the Berkeley website or the Pure Fishing website, and you'll see the full range, and we'll have them in store very shortly.
All right. Glad you will. They're right, yeah. They are worth having in any serious anglers kit. They're a superb piece of work.
Yeah, they are, definitely are. Beautiful, beautiful rods, and the actions I love, you know, and the range. You can have this whole range, and you cover every species across Australia.
If you had that set, if you were able to afford and go and buy that set, you would not have to have another fishing rod in your kit for years to come.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, mate, now give us the Pure Fishing website.
Yeah, just jump on the website, on the net, purefishing.com.au. We're constantly updating that with new product. You can jump on there now and see all the 3B lures, all that eggy stuff that we've been talking about, all the Sensei braid that we've been talking about. The Venom rods are all there, and all the other neat new stuff that we've got coming out for 2010, sort of 2011 season.
Yeah, and if your local Tackle World store doesn't have any of that, tell them to get it in because they're missing out on some great products. All right, John, it's been a pleasure as always, and we'll talk to you again in a fortnight to find out what's new because I know you've got plenty of gear sitting there.
Thanks, Dave. We'll talk again shortly.
All the best, mate. Thank you.
See you, mate.
There you go, Johnny Bell from Pure Fishing. Yeah, they've got a great range of products, and like I said, that the jig, the squid jig works great. The freebie lures, I'm excited because I want to give them a try. We've got our bass season happening in Penrith out our way, and I reckon they'll slaughter the bass down there and we'll get some great fish. So fantastic products, and remember the name, Pure Fishing, Berkeley. They've got the lot. So we're going to go to a short break. When we come back, we're talking to Don from Tackle World in Sandgate and find out what's biting up that way. You're listening to Fishing 24/7. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Dave Butfield's Tackle World St Mary's is not your ordinary tackle store? Dave has a great range of fishing tackle to choose from and also has a massive range of hunting gear from ammo, gun accessories, hunting knives, spear fishing, archery and even an indoor archery range. You can find Dave Butfield's Tackle World at 82 Glossop Street, St Mary's, or give them a call on 02-9623 9743. 02-9623 9743. Back to Fishing 24/7 with Dave Butfield, thanks to Tackle World, St Mary's.
Welcome back to Fishing 24/7. Now we're crossing over to Queensland. We're talking to Don from Tackle World at Sandgate. Good morning, Don.
G'day, Dave. How are you?
Mate, it's great to catch up with you again. I was only up there a number of weeks ago and went out with Trev and caught some great fish. We got some flatties and some tailor and other bits and pieces. It was a great day, and it's a great, great fisheries in there because it's such a big place. You can catch pretty much anything, can't you?
Mate, there's a lot of little estuaries, and the bay is working out quite well at the moment.
Oh, that's great. Now, mate, we were catching flathead the other week. Are they still biting up there?
Mate, flathead are being caught in Cabbage Tree Creek, Jackson's Creek, and in the Brisbane River.
Yep.
Most of them are being caught on bolt lures or using the Daiwa Presso Minnow.
There's a couple of lures I did use the other day, the Bolt Lure, which is a really affordable lure. God, that worked really well on the tailor. We just pulled that straight out of the box, straight in the water, swam perfectly, and got us fish, and it's a great little lure, and you've got a full range there, haven't you?
I've got the full range of Bolt Lures here, and yeah, the tailor have been smacking them, so it shows they do work.
That's right. And also the Daiwa lures. We'll use some of the Daiwa lures, and they work great as well. So drop in the sea, Don, because you've got a full range. Now, we're talking about flathead. What about if someone wants to go off the jetty? You've got a few big jetties there you can fish off. Have they been getting anything off the jetties?
Mate, at the moment, gar and baitfish are in good supply around the Shorncliffe and Redcliffe Pier. We've had some good reports of nice size gar there.
Now, what are they using for bait? Is it just bread? Just using dough?
A little bit of bread. Normally they float a small burly float above it.
Yep.
But yeah, just some bread.
And look, gurries are great eating. A lot of people use them for bait, but a lot of people eat them as well. But they're a great eating fish and lots of fun, especially off the jetty. You can take the kids there after school and catch a great deal of gurry. So it's great little sport catching that kind of fish.
Oh, it's really good, and it's good to see the kids getting into it and getting away from their TVs.
Exactly. Now, mate, what about the brim? I know you've got a great brim fisheries. What's been happening with them up there?
Well, brim are a little bit slow at the moment, but hopefully as the warmer days approach, they will start biting.
Yep.
People have to remember to fish around the structure, not away from the structure.
Yep.
And we have a great range of soft plastics which are being used at the moment.
Yeah, that's the thing, Don. I mean, like, it's a good point you just made there, you know, fish around that structure, because a lot of people cast too far away. Now, I have a lot of people come to my store and go, I can't get a brim on a soft plastic. But look, if you cast 3 or 4 foot away from that pylon, sometimes that's just not close enough to get the brim. So you really need to cast pretty much, you know, 1 mil away from that pylon, let it drift down the side of it, and then the brim will come out and take it. But a lot of times, sometimes they just won't travel out that 3 or 4 foot to get it. They want it right next to them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of people casting away from the bridge, and it just takes the young lass with a hand line who ended up pulling in the flathead right next to the structure. So that's what we try to impress on the people, to fish around the structures instead of away from the structure.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Don, tell us a bit about your Tackle World store, where you're located, and your phone number.
Tackle World store is located at the corner of Rainbow and Hancock Street at Sandgate.
Yep.
The phone number here is 3269-5060, and we're open 7 days a week, and on weekends we open at 6 a.m.
Yeah, open early for the fishermen. Go and see Mark, Trevor and Don. You've got to watch Don, he's a bit shady. And the guys love their fishing, and they're passionate, and they'll give you the advice so you can get out there and catch a fish, and that's what the boys like to do. It's same as us. We like to show you how to fish, where the fish, so you can get out there and catch that great fish. All right, mate, it's been a pleasure having you on board. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Excellent, Dave. I'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks, Don. Have a great one. Well, there you go. Don from Tackle World Sandgate. It's a lovely place, and it was the first time I fished up near Moreton Bay. And, yeah, we've got some great flathead tailor. And the boys, they're a great bunch of guys down there. Have lots of fun. And drop it in and see them, and they'll give you the, like I said, they'll give you all the information you can get out there and catch that fish of a lifetime. All right, now we're heading up to Townsville, talking to Miles Tan. Good morning, Miles.
Hi, Dave. Hey, morning, Dave. How are you?
Mate, it's great chatting to you. Now, what's been happening in beautiful Townsville?
Mate, if there's ever a time to come up to North Queensland and fish, it's now. Townsville's on fire at the moment.
Well, that's great. What's been happening?
The creeks have started to really fire up. The barra have sort of come back on the chew from prawn imitations. It's starting to take hard bodies.
Okay.
And the water's crystal clear at the moment, so there's plenty of barra getting around.
Now, how's the weather? I know you've had a bit of a rough run with weather. It's starting to ease up a bit now, starting to settle?
Yeah, it seems to, you know, every weekend we're starting to get one day that at least we can get out in the bay and chase a few of the mackerel that are around, but we've had a pretty stiff stint there of windy weather, so we're looking forward. We've actually got good weather coming up this weekend and early next week, so there'll be a few boats out.
Oh, that's great. Now, what else has been happening, Miles?
Yeah, the mackerel out wide have been sensational. Cricket scores, like, blokes bagging out, and they're nearly going 8 mile out from the coast. So,
oh, that's great.
Thinking fast.
What kind of mackerel?
I did have a game fish comp on the weekend, but that was very dismal. There's only like 4 fish tagged, I think. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's been pretty poor. We've had like 2 or 3 seasons in a row. That's really, really poor.
Okay. Now, what kind of mackerel are you getting out there?
Spanish mackerel at the moment.
They're Spanish mackerel.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Not as big as the one you got on our trip, Dave. But you know, they're up there.
Mate, we had a great time when we were up there. We were Northern Conquest Charters. We went out there, and that Spanish mackerel was around that 10 kilo, and I got it on the I think it was a 3,000 size reel. God, it took some line off, but it was great fun.
Yeah, awesome fish. That was a good effort on that light tackle. They really killed some line off quick, smart, don't they?
Yeah. Now, mate, what are the main lures they're using for the Spanish?
The Spanish, like, when they're on thick, which they are at the moment, you can just throw, like, be honest with you, the red bolt colour has been on fire, the Mystiques.
Yep.
Yeah, they've been absolutely on fire, but when they get a bit finicky, the old slow-trolled wolf herring and garfish is unbeatable.
Yeah, I done that with Rolly in Tully, the wolf herring. I've never seen them before. A massive big fish.
Yep.
And yeah, super special rig that Rolly made up with the weight on the nose,
yep.
Or under the bib, and yeah, that worked really well. Now I've got my biggest mackerel now. I think it was about 30 kilos.
Yeah, the old wolf herring rig is if you want a 20 to 30 kilo plus fish, wolf herring is the way to go. It separates them from the boys. The old wolf herring.
Yeah, it definitely does. Now, mate, do you make the rigs up there? Do you have the rigs available?
Yeah, we do. We make a few different rigs, but yeah, we definitely make them. Especially this time of year, it's hard to keep them on the shelf, but we've definitely got them.
Okay, so the bolt lures are working great. Wolf herrings. What
yep.
else has been getting caught out there?
Well, a few of the boys, you know, the 4 pound club, they've been getting out chasing a few sooties and jungle perch of late while it's been warming up, and they're getting a fair few, which is good.
Yeah, now, Miles, tell us a bit about people thinking, what's a 4 pound club? But it's a little club that you invented for guys catching fish on 4 pound line, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. Like anything you can target on 4 pound, doesn't matter if it's a Spanish mackerel at the one you caught or a jungle perch, we don't really care as long as we're having a good time.
Yep.
And it's a bunch of boys get together and all sort of have the same interests and, you know, have a good time, that's what it's all about.
Now, can anyone join that?
Pretty much, yep. Yeah. Anyone can join up. Yeah, best thing to do is jump on Facebook, Google the 4 pound club, we're on there. From there you can just jump on, have a chat to the lads, anything you want to talk about, we're happy to help out.
That's great. And I'll tell you, I mean, well, when we're up there, I know you had the 4 pound line, you lose some fish on it, but when you get one in, I tell you what, it's definitely worth it, isn't it?
It's a buzz, and I reckon the biggest picture of fishing with 4 pound is if you fish light and you can control a big fish, when you start fishing heavy, I reckon you become almost a better fisherman for it, you know what I mean?
Well, you learn to use the rod and reel properly.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. All right, mate, so someone's coming up there this weekend, and
yep.
Where do you suggest go out off?
I'd have to say, at the moment, Maggie Shoals or Cape Cleveland. While they're hot, I'd go and chase a few Spanish mackerel there. It's almost foolproof. If you've rigged up, well, come and chat to the boys here, we'll set you up. It's really easy to get them at the moment, and a good fish, and there's plenty of fillets for everyone.
All right, great. Now, mate, whereabouts are you located?
We're at Domain Central. Which is like a major hub in Townsville, CBD.
Yep.
And our phone number is 4725166. If anyone wants to give us a call and have a chat and find out any information, we're more than happy to help.
Sounds like you're on a plane, Miles.
No, I've got a few jets flying past here.
Yeah. Well, give the boys a call. Go and see Miles, Jack and Kelly and Denny and give them a call on 0747251266. And you guys will show them all the rigs and all the bits and pieces to go out and chase mackerel at the moment?
Absolutely.
All right, mate, it's been a pleasure. And jump on Facebook as well, the 4 Pound Club, and join up. And boys would love to see what you're catching on 4 Pound. All right, mate, it's been great having you on board, and I'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Dave.
All right, thanks, Miles. There you go, Miles from Tackle World in Townsville. All right, now we're crossing over to back down to Terrigal. We're going to stalk this Scotty Thorne from Haven Charters. We're talking about jigging for kings and also marlin fishing. We're coming up that time of the year. Port Stephen starts to fire up with marlin, so we're going to talk about marlin and how to catch kingfish. Good morning, Scotty.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. How you been?
Good, mate. Good. You're not out in the water today?
No, I got out of bed this morning and Bureau of Meteorology had a gale warning up, and really you can't proceed to see if there's a gale warning in my game. It'd be a dangerous thing.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So I knocked it on the head today, and I'd say probably tomorrow I'll be out as well, Dave.
Okay. Well, that's no good. Now, mate, it's that time of the year. I mean, the Kings actually been a bit later this year, haven't they?
Yeah, a bit sporadic, Dave. I mean, I had a good start to the season. I started around sort of April, as soon as I got back from Port Stephens, sort of straight into it, a fair bit of live baiting involved that time of year. And I've been continuing that trend all through the year, Dave. I've got a lot of new anglers on board this year, so a lot of them quite aren't up to the rigors of a full day jigging. So we catch a few liveys and sort of mix it up a little bit. And the liveys have outshone the jigging this year, far and away, you know, producing the better fish, you know. That sort of 90 centimetre plus range has, you know, all been falling to the live bait the last sort of couple of months. You know, though in saying that, I've just been jigging for the last few days, and I've caught a couple of 90 centimetre plus ones on the jig as well. It's certainly the downfall of the big ones. They can't resist the live yakka.
Yeah, mate. Do you find the kingfish now starting to get bigger? You're starting to see more bigger fish now?
Well, they go through in runs here. The last sort of couple of weeks on the grounds, a couple of the spots, Dave, have had a lot of undersized ones, around that sort of 55 to 65 centimetre mark. And they'll sort of, you know, they'll hang in one spot and, you know, you'll catch the odd small one amongst the bigger ones. But it seems to be that this one spot, you know, the last few weeks is holding a lot of small ones. I sort of steer clear of those spots and sort of get away. If I'm chasing the really big ones, I'll go off and I'll just little isolated bits of reef away from the main group of the grounds there, the main lot of reefs around the grounds there. I find that the bigger ones tend to hang out in little isolated lumps, and they're like, they take up residence there, I guess, because I can drive around and I'll mark a couple of fish and I'll pull them out, and, you know, I can't see any more, and I'll go back the next day or a few days later, and, you know, there's a couple more there, I'll mark a few more and pull those ones out, and it just goes on and on like that. They send a move in there, they'll stay there and feed. They're like resident fish, I guess, and they're normally big bruisers, you know, that they start to really pull hard once they get around that 95 centimetre to a metre mark. Anything above 95 is a goer as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Now, mate, is what size jigs are you using, 300 grammers?
Yeah, I'm using young Josh Lowry's Samaki range. I've found those to be the best. There's a centre-weighted couple of jigs in there. The Groover is one of my favourite ones, and it's particularly the colour called Oily Boy, which seems to produce the goods for us as well. Insane, the centre-weighted, if you have a look at jigs in your shop, or any shop for that matter, but particularly yours, you've got a good range of jigs, I know. But centre-weighted ones, where the weight is in the middle of the jig,
yep,
as compared to a rear-weighted one, they're a lot easier to work. And I find some of my guys that aren't that fit, you know, they're not used to jigging or haven't done much jigging, I try and line them up with a relatively light outfit and a centre-weighted jig, so it's easy to jig. And you can catch fish by just turning the handle every now and then on those things, I found.
Yeah, exactly.
Mainly, you don't have to get into that super, you know, break the sound barrier with your jig through the water sort of thing, crank in action. I've, you know, little kids and women come out with me all the time, and, you know, that erratic sort of retrieve that, you know, they haven't got a down pat seems to be pretty good, and they get a bite on those jigs more than they would on a rear-weighted jig. So I try and keep it around that 240, 280 gram, Dave, so it's not too hard on the anglers. And yep. We're fishing in pretty deep water, 100 metres plus, so, you know, I try and keep everything as light as I possibly can. Unfortunately, the wind this year has been just shocking out of the west, so you have to use those heavier-weighted jigs. I think Josh, he's got one there called a bazooka that I use a fair bit. It's a rear-weighted one and seems to get down a bit easier. And you do have to work it a bit harder, but that produces the goods on the windier days.
Yeah, mate, it's funny, you know, you take the new guys out and they're all, especially the loud ones. I love watching the loud guys on the boat, you know, they're all, yeah, I'll do this, I'll do that, and about 5 minutes of jigging, they nearly pass out.
Yeah. I found... you know, guys that work in an office that don't do much exercise, they sort of come unstuck pretty quickly. Anyone that's got a physical sort of outdoor job, you know, they're sort of pretty fit. It is a fit person sport, Dave. You know, it involves a lot of aerobic activity.
Yep.
And you've got to have a breather. And people get on the boat and they see they're only, you know, carrying four or five outfits, and they, you know, there might be six or seven of them. They go, hey, we haven't got a rod each. And you get to the grounds and you give three of them a rod and they have a drop. Well, in the first 5 minutes, they're buggered and the next three are up. So it's a good way of doing it. And you've got to have a blow every now and then and a bit of a drink. You've got to rehydrate yourself.
That's right.
It certainly is pretty savage on your body. But in saying that, you get used to it. And I found, you know, every day I have a couple of jigs, and it certainly does pretty good thing for your health. I mean, it makes you fit, that's for sure.
It definitely does. Now, we're not far away from our marlin season. You head up to Port Stephens. Mate, just some fundamentals of marlin fishing. Do you find you get better results using dead baits, skipping baits across the back, or using lures?
I started lure fishing like the sort of 99% of marlin fishermen here. You know, dragging around a pakula is pretty easy to do. You just put it out the back, they seem to work anywhere. But I like that traditional, you know, rigging the bait and skipping it around deal. I like switch fishing as well, where it uses tail lures without hooks in them. The marlin gets raised to the lure and you wind him to the back of the boat and chuck a live bait or a dead bait to him. I like the visual side of it, Dave. You see the really good bites on the skipping bait because they come up and rip it off the top.
Yep.
And the bait and switch fishing's pretty exciting for your crew as well, especially if you've got one of them on the teaser rod and you're yelling at him to pull that lure and there's a marlin after it. The whole visual aspect of it is pretty exciting, Dave, and it helps keep your crew sort of in the loop with things as well. Like, you know, a bite on the long rig is not anywhere as exciting as chucking a live bait down the throat of one that's at the back of the boat, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I like the whole traditional aspect of, you know, catching your bait and rigging it so it looks like a swimming fish or a fish that's in distress. That whole thing that, you know, that's been going on since the early 1900s here in Australia when marlin fishing kicked off, I like that aspect of it as well, you know, and it keeps your hand in with rigging baits. It's every man to himself. You can't catch a giant blue marlin on anything but a skipping bait, it seems these days. Trial lure these days, they don't like the skipping bait as much, probably because we can't find the baits big enough for those big mamas to, you know, to eat around here to skip. So, every facet could be covered in a day's fishing day, but I certainly like the visual aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, mate, if someone's going out there, do they need, and they're only a beginner, do they need to have a certain spot, or do you just head out to the shelf and then and run along the line and hopefully find some bait, or do you really need to have the actual spots?
Well, I found better day that most of the baits, the spots that hold the good bait fish, Port Stephens, you have, say, the car park, the canyon, Newcastle Canyon, you have the Catherine Hill Bait Canyon, which is down a bit further, and there's the spots straight out from Port Stephens itself around the 3250 line, that's the latitude 3250,
yep.
That area there seems to hold a bit of bait. The car park is very... well known. It's famous, all around the world. Thousands of marlin being caught there. I'm sure thousands more will be caught there. Always hold bait, and you can always find bait there, slimies or large yellowtails. That's sort of around that 33 line, the latitude 33 degrees. It's pretty close run to the shelf too. It's about a 20-odd mile run. So everywhere where you fish, Dave, seems to have a little secret honey hole. Most of them are on the net these days. I'm sure if you jumped on the net and you looked up the car park off Port Stephens, the latitude and longitude to be there. In saying that, though, some days you just have to go and wander and get away from the crowd. I like fishing up there to the north around that Allmark Mountain area, which is east of Broughton Island. I caught a nice blue marlin there last year and the same the year before, so I spend a little bit of time up there as well and gives my guides the opportunity to drop a livey down and catch a big kingy. There's some massive kingies at that spot, so I sort of kill two birds with one stone there. The car park, though, would be probably one of my most favourite fishing spots in all of Australia.
Yeah, I've caught marlin there with you before. I think we got six in one day, which was mind-blowing. So it is a very, very popular spot, like you said. But I think the main thing you've got to look for is your bait, isn't it? Once you find a rough location, and like you said, there's tons of them on the internet. I've seen hundreds of spots up Port Stephens on the internet. As long as the bait's there, that'll hold the fish, won't it?
Yeah, I drive around with my sounder. I'm normally running on split screen while I'm cruising around. I look on 250 at the same time. 50 kilohertz is a wider beam angle, so you're taking in more area, and you can look around and find those bait schools. Then when I find a bait school, I mark a spot in my plotter, so it gives me a reference point that I can go back to if I need to. I might put two or three of those in during the day. They're close together. I'll sort of stay in that area and work between those spots. Then I switch over to 200 kilohertz on my sounder. Gives you a narrower beam angle, but I find I tend to mark the fish a little bit better on 200, Dave. And I sort of, once I mark a fish, if he's down deep enough, I'll fire down a livey with a, say, sinker, a snapper lead with a rubber band attached to it.
Yep.
And try and not land it on his head. And if they're pretty high, usually you can just do a couple of turns around there, and they're quite inquisitive. Striped marlin will come up and look at your boat or hear the noise and come up and look at it. They see you skip bait out the back and you usually get him on. A lot of the times I'll mark a fish down, say, 20 fathoms, 120 feet, and I'll say to the guys, I'll mark one, and before I can get the whole sentence out of my mouth, he's up there and eating the bait. So they're very inquisitive. They hear the noise. They see you skip bait out the back there, thinking it's a little lone bait fish by itself, and they usually climb on.
Great. Yeah, so it's a great sport, and hopefully these greens don't come in and destroy it all for us, because Labor's got in. It's pretty scary, but I think it'll be some time before they even try to do that, and by that time there might be a new government in there by then. So because, I mean, you know, they want to close fishing off for all Australians, and which... You know, I'd like to look after our fisheries, and I think a lot of fishermen now are conservationists. They throw a lot of fish back. They only take what they need, and to stop people from fishing altogether, I think it's just wrong. And it's not Australian to do it, and you know, I don't know how you can stop people who have been fishing all their lives, stop people from fishing all their lives and just say to them, bang, you're not going fishing anymore, it's just wrong. And the thing is...
I can see your point there, Dave, and what I don't think a lot of these political parties get is the flow of money that's produced by fishing. You know, like I know I'm in Port Stephens marlin fishing for 3 months of the year. I get heaps of international people, you know, flying into Australia just to come marlin fishing, and while they're here, they spend a lot of money doing other stuff. I get interstate people. I get people from Sydney that come to Port Stephens. They book a hotel room, a motel room. They book apartments. They book houses for sometimes a couple of weeks. And they have a holiday. They spend money in the regional area. Now, this money goes everywhere. It doesn't just go to me, a fishing charter operator. It goes to the restaurants in Port Stephens. It goes to the pubs, the clubs. It goes to rent. You know, their kids need to be entertained, so they take them out to the movies, to the bowling, to the little animal farm down the road there to pat the baby animals. It goes everywhere, Dave. And, you know, and then you have a whole bunch of recreational anglers that'll come into town there with their own boats. You know, and they have to have, you know, purpose-built boats. They have purpose-built trailers. They have, you know, usually everyone who's a fisherman has a four-wheel drive. I have a four-wheel drive. You know, and, you know, you've got to look at the follow-on effect if fishing was to be restricted anyway. These follow-up businesses, four-wheel drives, boats, all these other tourist areas would all feel the effects. You know, the guys that sell the coffee at Port Stephens in the morning, all my guys grab a coffee in the morning before they jump on the boat, they buy their bread rolls. This sort of thing's got to be looked at. The whole economic area that surrounds fishing, the impact that it will have is amazing, Dave. And it's not just fishing rod salesmen like yourself and TV shows guys like yourself. It's everyone that will suffer.
That's right, and that's, you hit the nail right on the head. Tourism around Australia, a lot of these little towns survive on tourism, and people go to these spots every year, year after year after year, just to go fishing there, have some time with their family. Go, if they go fishing once or twice, if you take away that fishing, they might go, well, let's go somewhere, let's go overseas now, or let's go somewhere else. We're not going to go to that little town anymore because that's the main reason we went there, to go fishing. We can't fish there anymore. We'll go to Surfers Paradise and we won't even go fishing. We'll just do the family thing there. And it does. All these little towns survive on fishing. And if you take that away, they won't survive anymore.
And we're talking this, the Marine Park off Port Stephens, the state one that's already in place is up around Seal Rocks. Well, it's turned Seal Rocks into a bit of a ghost town these days because the only people that go there are fishermen and surfers. The fishermen have certainly abandoned the place. And the new Marine Park, which is the federal one, the Commonwealth Marine Park, that one will stretch from Foster down to Swansea.
That's right.
And 200 nautical miles to sea, which is quite a large area, and they're saying a third of that will be out of bounds for fishermen, or restricted to fishing. There'll be no fishing allowed at all in a third of it. So we're talking quite a big area, and out to 200 nautical miles, that's a massive, massive amount of square kilometres to be banned from. I'm not saying we're fishing out in 200 nautical miles, but there's nothing really out there that is endangered, Dave. You know,
that's right.
And,
no, and the science.
The science behind the whole thing, you know, it's a pelagic fishery out there. Fishes move in and out according to seasons and water flow and temperature. Especially like the marlin fishing that we're doing, it's a very seasonal thing. Our impact is negligible. You know, I could count on one hand the amount of marlin that I've taken for food this year, and I released 75. So the economic onflow and the impact that we're having daily is negligible, and all these things have to be weighed up and sensibly looked at before any sort of marine park draft has to come out and be produced that we're all going to buy, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's scary, and like I said, it's going to affect not just fishermen, it'll affect whole towns, it'll affect the mechanic, it'll affect, you know, it just affects everyone. And fishing is a massive, massive industry which brings in millions and hundreds of millions of dollars every year into the communities. And if you take that away, the communities and fail and they go broke. And it started to happen right along the coast now, so, which is disappointing. So if anyone is in the Green Party listening, please think about what you're doing. And you know, as a fisherman and myself, I'm a conservationist. You know, I throw a lot of my fish back into water. The fish I do keep, I might only keep one or two fish, and that's what I feed. I take that home, I eat, and if what I catch over goes back into the water, they fight another day. And I think a lot of more people now, a lot more responsible, and they are doing the right thing, and that's what they've got to look at as well, you know. So anyway, hopefully it won't happen too soon and they have a change of heart, but I can't see it happening. But maybe another government might be in there soon, and we need one in there sooner or later. I know it's just happened now, but things can change pretty quick the way things are going. We're very unstable at the moment. Mate, tell us a bit about Haven Charters, your phone number, and that'd be great.
Our website is www.kingfishgigging.com. You can get all the relevant information there. We've got a new boat coming online, Dave.
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful sport fishing machine. Just magnificent boat. We've got all the best electronics, forward-facing sonar. It's going to be a great fishing machine. I'm sure you'll be on board this year catching a few marlin with us again. Fantastic boat. We haven't got any pictures on that on the net, but jump on there, www.kingfishjigging.com. Have a look on my fishing reports there. You can see what we've been catching. Certainly some nice kingfish pictures. Marlin fishing will get underway around sort of Christmas time onwards, and make a booking as soon as you can if you want to do a day's marlin fishing, because we're booking up quick.
Okay, great. Now, what number can you get you on, Scotty?
0419 440 869.
All right, give Scotty Forrington a ring. You won't be disappointed. Kingfish Marlin, and he knows his stuff, and big new boat on its way. So if you want a little bit of luxury, you've got it with Scotty Forrington. Mate, it's great having you on board, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Next time you give me a call, I'll have another good fishing report for you there.
Good on you, Scotty.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, there you go. And it's, you know, I'm pretty passionate about my fishing, and I'm pretty passionate about looking after our waterways and that, but, you know, what they're doing is a little bit crazy, and hopefully it doesn't happen, you know, later than sooner. So anyway, well, before we go, I just want to talk about the EFX Performance Band. It's a great product. It helps stop motion sickness, seasickness. It makes you feel 100%. It takes away any aches and pains from your body. You get a better night's sleep. Balance. If you have a balance problem, I'll tell you what, your ear is like a telegraph pole. You won't be able to budge because it's absolutely amazing. Jump on the Hooked on Tackle World website at www.hooktv.com.au and check out all the information's on there. You can buy it online. You can jump into your local Tackle World store or Terry White Chemist and you can get the EFX Performance Band. It's a great product. I talk about it every fortnight, but I swear by it. I have people come into my store, and after wearing it for a week, they said, "Dave, you've changed my life. You know, I don't have any pain anymore. I stopped getting the headaches." It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life, and it's definitely worthwhile having it on your hand. And that wraps me up for today. I know I've been blabbering on, but I hope you enjoyed the show. I'll be back next fortnight with more fishing, more reports, and lots more fun. Thanks for being on board, and I'll talk to you real soon. Have a safe one.
Dave Butfield's Fishing 24/7 is a Helms Media Solutions production. Visit helms.com.au to find out more about our podcasting services.